thank you so much, Lord, for the chance to celebrate that, God. You are mighty to save, that you're stronger than the enemy. You're stronger than our own resistance to you, our own sin, our own struggle, Father, to follow you. You're stronger, that you overcome that in our lives. Lord, to save us and to change us and to sanctify us and to make us more like Christ. And we thank you for that, Father. God, I ask you to just meet with us in this time, Father. I pray that as we get into your word, as we talk about, Father, what it has to say to us today, I pray that it'll be a time of encouragement and refreshing, Father, but also a challenge for us to live differently, Lord, than we have, to live differently than we are, God, and more like you would have us to live. Father, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I forgot to mention, we are planning to have church tonight, 6 o'clock. So we've heard a rumor that we weren't, but I don't think that's true. Tonight we're having church, 6 o'clock. So we'll be here. We'll finish our very last week of Colossians. We've been in Colossians since, what, February? Or March, or I guess it was February, beginning of that. And so we're going to be wrapping that up tonight, our very last week of that. So if you haven't been a part of that, come tonight anyway, because you'll learn probably something, hopefully. And then we'll finish that up tonight. And then next week, there will be no evening services after our party at the park, celebrating 130 years of ministry in Corning. So that's an exciting day. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. It's not very often that a church gets to celebrate 130 years. There's hundreds of churches that close their doors every week across the country, and God has been gracious to allow us to not only be here, but also to grow and to thrive in this community and to make a difference, and we pray that he keeps doing that for at least another 130 years, and excited to see what he's going to do. Just a reminder, if you're not here on a Sunday and you want to join us, you can go online to our website, livestream.com/CorningFBC. Actually, go to our website too, CorningFBC.com, and there's a link to watch live. You can click that. It'll take you to that site. And then you can go back and listen to our messages at CorningFBC.com/messages or our live stream website archives, all of our video messages. You can go back and watch those as well. And we'd love to have you do that. So this week is kind of a intermediate week. We're not starting a series yet. Our next series will actually start May 7th. So next week we have April 30th, Party at the Park, and then we'll start May 7th, our new series called Relationship Goals. And Daniel's actually preaching that day. It's Senior Sunday, graduation day. So Daniel's going to be bringing the first message of that series, Relationship Goals. We're going to be talking about relationships. And we're going to talk about, because Mother's Day and Father's Day is in there, we're going to talk about marriage, we're going to talk about work relationships, talking about friendship relationships, we're going to talk about different principles that help relationships thrive and look godly and honoring to God and pleasing to God, and we're going to look at all those different things. So I invite you to be back part of those. But this Sunday is kind of an in-between. We're done with the Defined Church. We start that in a couple of weeks. So today, I wanted to focus a little bit just on, I want us to spend some time praying, but also some time just talking about the work we do here as a church. The week after Easter, a lot of times the people who show up are the ones who are the core part of the church. Somebody mentioned that was on Twitter this morning that that there were hundreds at the Palm Sunday for Jesus, and they said that the week after Easter, the week after he rose, there were only 120 there waiting for him in the upper room. And so you see this kind of core come together, and I believe that's probably where we are. But I wanted to talk today about the future of our church a little bit, talk about the work that God's going to do among us, but we're just kind of focusing on that now. And after we have gone through that, we're going to have a time where we pray. We're going to pray for us, we're going to pray for our church, we're going to pray for our community, and hopefully out of that, we'll come out of here excited about what God is doing. So the question we got to start with is this: where are you placing the responsibility of the results of our work as a church? Where do you place, when you think about, success as a church, and another question to ask in there is, what does success look like? But where do you place the responsibility for the results of our work as a church? There's different places we can do that. We can place the responsibility on the preacher. And a lot of people do that. A lot of churches do that. That it's the preacher's job to get people into the church, to lead them to Christ, to baptize them, to lead the mission trips, to do every part of it. Some people focus on the people in the congregation, that it's the congregation's job. It's your responsibility that you do the work of the ministry and all those things. And both of those things are true to a point. But where ultimately is the responsibility for the results of the work that we do? Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. This is a psalm written by Solomon. Most of them written by David, a handful, we don't know who wrote them. Asaph wrote a few, but this one in particular is written by Solomon. And Solomon knew a lot about seeing God work. Solomon was as David's son, and as David was the king that fought many, many battles and conquered many kingdoms. But as Solomon came in and became the king of Israel, he saw this flourishing of Israel, that the kingdom expanded, the kingdom, they were wealthy beyond measure. They had really a lot of peace and stuff during his lifetime. Now, after that, things fell apart. But during his reign as king, things were going pretty well. Things were growing. Israel's in a good place. And Solomon, if you remember the story, God came to Solomon and gave him the opportunity to ask for anything. And he asked for what? Wisdom. And we see in the Proverbs, God gave him a lot of wisdom. Does that mean he didn't ever make stupid decisions? No, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. He had 1,000 women he had to try to keep happy and taken care of. He didn't always make good decisions, but he was very, very wise. And this is one of the things he wrote. Psalm 127, starting in verse 1. He said, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. So unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Main point is this: all your hard work and all our hard work doesn't matter if God is not at work in it. Doesn't matter. We can do programs, we can do events, we can do gimmicks, we can do all kinds of things to get people through these doors and into the chairs. We saw it last week on Easter, right? You see it every year at Easter and Christmas. We can do things and advertise things and talk to people, and we can get people in here to sit in our pews. We had, we're estimating between 200 and 250, depending on how many were watching us live on the live stream, people and watching our service last week, either here in the building or watching online. And that's fantastic. That's wonderful, and I celebrate that. And we can do things where we get people, and we can do the events, we can do more block parties, we can do outdoor services, we can do all these things. We can add programs, we can add, we can expand Awana and our youth and a bus ministry and do all these different programs. We can do all this stuff. But none of it matters if God's not at work in it. It doesn't matter at all. There's something that you need to know about me. And I've mentioned this on Sunday night, and I think I've mentioned on Sunday morning, but if not, I am right now. I am not driven by numbers. You need to know that about me. That I don't, when we have events, I celebrate when we have big numbers. Last fall, we had the back-to-school bash. We had like 400 people show up. That's awesome, and I love that. That's incredible. You know, our block parties, we usually have between 150 and 200 people come to our block parties from the community, come to those things. You know, we have 200 to 250 people in church last week. But those aren't things that we keep up with numbers, but numbers aren't what drive me. Because if numbers are what drive us as a church, then we have to do whatever the next newest, biggest thing is to get more numbers into the church. And in all of my seminary training, and all of my time growing up in the church, all of my time as a pastor, an associate pastor, all the men that have mentored me and spoken life into me, not a single time have I read in Scripture or heard from one of them that God has charged us as a church to get numbers. A lot of times we treat the Great Commission that way. We read the Great Commission and say, "Go therefore and make disciples." But too often, practically, we approach it as, "Go therefore and get people in the pews." Or, "Go therefore and make converts." Now, the charge that God has given us is to make disciples. And Daniel and I have this conversation all the time that we, you know, as much as we love back in the fall, when we ran it, we had a special program. It was called Life, Life Program. And we saw our youth numbers double. We had 60, sometimes 70 youth down there on Wednesday nights. But you know what means more to me and to Daniel? The fact that we have some of our youth that graduated in the last year or two that are going across the world on mission trips, that are coming back here to pour into the lives of the youth that are still here. And those two, three, four people doing that mean more to us than 70 showing up on a Wednesday night. Because that's where God's working. Now, don't misunderstand me. If we don't grow, if we never have more numbers, if we never have more people coming in, then there's a problem. There's a systemic problem. But reaching for the numbers, going after the numbers, is not what's going to sustain. That's not what's going to carry on. It's going to grow. So what we have to do is place ourselves in a spot where we're going to ask God to do the work. Because unless God is doing the work, our labor is in vain. Unless God is watching out for and protecting this congregation, all that we do is a waste of time. Let's keep reading. Verse 2. It says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." Now there's two different translations for that last part of that verse about even in his sleep. There's a word that Solomon uses here that's not used anywhere else in the entire Bible, and they can't find it anywhere else in the Hebrew language, in ancient Hebrew language. So they're not real sure how to translate. So some Bible translators translate it this way, as mine does. The New American Standard says, "even in his sleep." Some Bible translations translate it that he gives his people sleep. They're not sure it's one of those two. Either way, the point is that he is working hard on our behalf. And so our work that we do doesn't count as much as the work that he is doing for us. That either the truth is that he gives us sleep from our work, or the truth is that even God, if he were to sleep, even if he were to rest, that he's working hard for us more than we ever could, even at that. But we also know that God never sleeps and God never rests. So how much harder is he working then? And what Solomon is telling us here in this psalm is all of our hard work, that we can come in early, we can do all these things. This is true in your work life, but it's especially true, especially here in the church, that all the work we do, unless God's doing the work, it's a waste of our time. It's a waste of our time. All of our work doesn't matter because God is faithful to provide for us. Now, it's not to say, don't hear me say that we don't have to do stuff, that we don't have to work hard. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, you don't have to turn there, it's on the screen. It says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." So we still work hard. As a pastor, as Daniel, as a pastor here at the church, we both try to work really, really hard. We try to work hard to serve you. We try to work hard to lead things, to organize things. And we have some volunteers that work their tails off. Not saying we don't work. God tells us to work. The thing is we have to remember. What we have to remember is that God is the source of the success of our work. And if we ever place on ourselves that responsibility, then we're starting to go the wrong way. We have to place on God the responsibility of the results of our work. We cannot just rely on our own power or abilities for results. So I want to take a minute. I want to lead us through some prayer. Okay, we have three different things I want to pray for. They're going to pop up on the screen here in a little bit. But the first one, it says for me, and this is from your point of view. So this is each of you individually. Okay. And then a little bit we'll pray for us as a church, and then we'll pray for them in the community. But we're going to start with this one, pray for me. So this is you saying for myself, okay, not for me as Josh the preacher. I'm praying this for myself too, but this is for each one of us individually to pray for me. The first one is this, pray for yourself for a willingness to grow and change. Change is hard. Change is not easy. But it's healthy. There's a phrase that we use all the time, healthy things grow and growing things change. Now watch my kids as they grow up, and we look back at pictures. Yesterday was Lydia's 7th birthday, and I keep telling her she's not allowed to get older, but she keeps doing it anyway. All my kids do, but they do it anyway. But we look back at pictures from previous birthdays, you know, they pop up on Facebook or whatever, and just seeing how much they've changed over the years. If my kids, you know, if Lydia at 7 yesterday looked the same thing that she did 3 years ago when she was turning 4, there's an issue there. We need to go get that checked out. There's a problem. And so healthy things are growing. Healthy things are changing. We personally should not be in the same spot we were last year. Spiritually, that your relationship with God should not be in the same place that it was even last month. that our relationship is growing and changing, and that change is not always easy because God is going to ask you to do things that you're not comfortable with. God is going to ask you to do things that are hard. They cause us to be humble. They cause us to put others before ourselves. They cause us to sometimes endure pain and frustration and trials in order to get to a better place. But God calls us to do that, so we do it. And so we need to pray for ourselves that we have a willingness to grow and to change, to say, to submit ourselves to God in His direction and His lordship in our life, to say, God, whatever you choose, God, whatever you say, I'm willing to do that. The second thing to pray for yourself is a deeper relationship with God and with others. Pray for a deeper relationship with God and with others. It's easy. It's so easy to go through the Christian life. We show up on Sundays. You know, we may volunteer for another thing during the week on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights or whatever, come to the special event kind of things. It's so easy to just kind of go through that and not really develop a relationship with God. But as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, talking about Scripture, God's Word is living and active, and God speaks to us through His Word, and God wants to talk to you through His Word and through prayer. So let Him. Dig into that relationship. Take the time to read some Scripture and to pray, and then just shut your mouth and be quiet and listen. And I'm not saying there's going to be like fireworks and angels and you know, lights out of heaven and stuff when that happens. It may be just a quiet word. And sometimes there might just be silence. But take the time regularly, day after day, week after week, month after month, to give God the opportunity to speak into your life so you can build that relationship with Him and in turn build relationships with others. To spend time digging in with friends and with family, to make sure they're okay, to love them, to pray for them, to pray with them. Dig into those relationships. Thirdly, I want you to pray for maturity and ownership of your role as a minister of the gospel. Did you know that in the New Testament, you know, in the Old Testament, you had priests. You had the high priest, and you had other priests, the tribe of Levi, and they did all the work of the church, right? I mean, you take your money to the temple, the priest would take the offerings, the priest would do all the work of the temple. But in the New Testament, you know what Peter calls all of us? Every single one of us. Holy priesthood. You are ministers of the gospel. You have not only the responsibility, but God has also equipped you as a believer to serve in that role. To be people who can share the gospel with people. You don't have to just bring them to me to share the gospel with. I'm happy to do it. I don't mind it. I love it when our WANA leaders say, I've got a kid who's asking questions. Can you talk to him? I don't mind at all. But you know, you could too. I've got resources. If you feel like you need training, I've got resources. We did a whole series on Sunday nights a few months ago on sharing your faith. We've got resources. I can help you do that. I can help you train you and show you how to share your faith with somebody. We also are called to be ministers and we can serve as priests for the hurting and for the suffering, to be there to pray with them, to be present with them. To be ministers of the gospel to people that we follow up with people. If we see them at church on a Sunday morning, you know, sometimes we have visitors that come on Sunday mornings and they don't leave any information for me to follow up. They don't leave a phone number, an email, nothing. If you see somebody here on Sunday morning, I give you permission that you see somebody you know to follow up with them. To just call them and say, hey, it was good to see you here on Sunday. You can do that, all right? Because if they don't give me their phone number, I'm not going to track it down and call them, because if I place myself in those shoes, that's kind of weird, to be honest. If I go to a church and I don't give my phone number and the next thing I know the pastor's calling me, that's kind of creepy, okay? But if you know them, go for it. Go for it. They may actually wonder why you didn't if you don't, okay? So let's do that. Pray for maturity and ownership of our role as ministers of the gospel. And finally, pray for boldness to speak truth into the lives of those who need it. Boldness to share the gospel, boldness to tell people that what they need to hear about who God is, boldness to invite them to church. Did you know that studies show that over 50% of the unchurched would come to church if somebody just asked? Almost over 50% of those who don't attend church regularly would go if somebody just invited them. So let's be bold. to do that. So we've got them up on the screen. We've got our list of things that we need to pray for. These are for you individually, okay? This is not a church-wide thing. This is for you individually in your growth. Let's take a couple of minutes, okay? Spend some time. Daniel, can you come play something soft? I'm sorry, I didn't even think to tell you about that this morning. Just kind of play something soft for us. And we're going to spend some time in prayer. I'll close this in a little bit, and then we'll move on to the next thing. All right, so I'll open us up, and then I'm just going to say in Jesus' name, and then you start praying yourselves, okay? Let's pray. Father, I do ask you for each person in this room, Lord, to seriously approach you this morning. God, as we pray through these things, make them real. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for each person in this room. God, as we ask you to really work in our lives, to change us and to grow us, I pray that you'll be faithful to do it. Lord, I pray for spiritual growth. I pray for deeper relationships with you and with others. I pray for change in our lives, God. I pray for boldness. I pray for ownership. God, I just ask you to cause these things to be true of us, Lord, that a seriousness of what it means to be a follower of you becomes real in each life in this room today. I praise you, God, for the role you've called us to. God, it's a big job. Lord, and you've given it to each one of us. And I pray, Lord, as we follow you, as we seek after you, God, that you will cause that to be real for us. You will cause that to be recognizable in us, Lord, as people watch and observe the members of First Baptist Church, that they'll see these things being true of us. We praise you for that, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the second thing we're praying for is us. This is prayer for us as a church, okay? This is kind of the institutional type prayer, the all of us together as a whole. And what I want to do is I want to share with you a few things that are on my heart. I've been praying about, ever since I got here, I've been praying for things, praying for goals and for vision and what God wants us to do. We've talked about this a lot in staff meeting. We've talked about it some among the deacons. And I want to kind of lay some of it out there for you this morning. I've set a kind of a goal date of the end of 2019 for these things. Okay, we've got 2.5 years, all right? But you'll see why in a little bit, because I've really got some big goals, some things that if it were up to me, I would just run ragged and push through and get it all done this summer. But I don't think that's probably healthy for any of us. So what I want to do, I want us to give us time to think through this and to pray through it. But I want to put it out there. The first thing is this: I want us to have at First Baptist Church a discernible discipleship process. That somebody who comes as a visitor, that there is a clear way for them to come as a visitor, to join the church, to become involved in service, and to go out on mission for Christ through our church. It's easy to see. It's understandable. We can repeat it and tell people what it is in that process. Now, part of that process is going to include small groups. I would love to see us as a church have groups that meet in our community off campus outside of Sunday morning in people's homes. This means that some of us are going to have to open up our homes to strangers and to other people. Some of us are going to have to step up and serve as leaders that will walk people through a lesson, a study, something like that, to pray for people. And then this will require us as the church to be the church to those within our groups and in our community. Because I've seen, I believe in small groups. We have a fantastic Sunday school. We have wonderful single teachers. I want to develop that more to make our Sunday school classes even more effective than they already are. We have great teachers, wonderful, committed teachers, and people who are in our classes that are doing a great job learning and studying. But I also want us to expand this out because I've seen the power of small groups in the community. There was a gentleman that we met, Janie and I met when we were in South Carolina at the church we were attending right before we came here. His name was Craig Oakley. And the reason he was able to come to Christ, what brought him to Christ was fried chicken from Publix grocery stores, all right? If you've never had Publix fried chicken, if you're on the East Coast, go to Publix, get the fried chicken. It's really good, all right? Anyway, his wife would come each Tuesday night. His wife would have a big tub of Publix fried chicken, and he would want some. And she would tell him each week, you can have some if you come to small group with me. No. It only took 2 or 3 weeks of that for him to say, fine, I'll go if I can have some chicken. And he went, and somebody latched on to him and started investing in him, took him out to lunch and prayed with him, and was able to lead Craig to Christ. Now Craig actually works for the church. He's this fantastic man. But I've seen this happen over and over and over and over. There are opportunities for people in our community who will not step foot on this door on Sunday morning because, you know, we've got a reputation, or because the church has a reputation, or because I just don't go to church, or because they don't want to get up on Sunday morning, or whatever it is. Our small groups give us the opportunity to do that. So this is something I've been praying through, planning to plan out, talk about already. So I've already kind of been talking about that a little bit. Next thing here, further development of Sunday morning children's programming. This is something that Angela Amber and Danielle, our children's committee, and I have been talking about and working on. We want to establish, we're re-looking at our nursery policies and procedures to make sure Sunday mornings run as smoothly as possible, and we want to expand how many classes we offer during this worship service on Sunday mornings. Expand right now, the age to come up to big church is 4. We want to change that a little bit and up that some. Not a lot, because I believe children should be in here with us worshiping. I believe children can learn just as much as we can. But I want us to expand the opportunities we have there, the programming we do on Sunday morning, so it's not just babysitting during the worship service. So we're actually pouring into kids' lives. I want us to expand and work on that. Mission trips. Currently, we have a relationship with Hope Rising Children's Home in Haiti, and we send a couple of people down there every year, and Mike Vinson, one of our deacons, actually serves on their board of directors now, and I want to pour into that relationship. I would love to see, we have a trip coming up in November, October, and we would love to send more people. Okay, we want to have people go there to invest and serve in Haiti, and it's hard work. We're going to spend time working with kids. We usually spend some time doing construction work. I'd love to see us invest more in that, but also I'd love to see us expand to new evangelistic mission opportunities. I've already been in contact with some friends of mine in China and some friends of mine in Africa that would love to see us partner with and work on. I'd also love to see us have a partnership here in North America elsewhere. This is big. I understand it, okay? Who are we from Corning to go to Africa and China and all these different places? We're God's people, okay? And I believe that we can make a difference all over the world. I believe it with all my heart. And so by the end of 2019, that's 2.5 years, I'd love to see us have developed, and I say Africa and China not because I've already decided that, I just have friends there, and those are great opportunities for us to get started. But if God leads us somewhere else, that's awesome. All right, but I want us to see us making a difference, not just here in Corning, but across this country and all over the world. The next rest of the church is renovations. We talked about this some. On Sunday nights, if you came to our business meetings, which we only usually have 12, so I know most of you all aren't here for business meetings, come to business meetings. Can I just say that? Because we make a lot of big decisions at business meetings, and I would feel a lot better if it wasn't just 12, 15 of us making those decisions. Okay, every member has a voice. Every member gets a vote. Okay, if you're a member of the church, you get to do that. We do it on Sunday nights, the second Sunday night of every month, unless something else comes up. Okay, like this next month, it's Mother's Day, so we probably won't have church on Sunday night. But most months, the second Sunday night of the month, we have a business meeting, and we make big, important decisions, and I would love to have you there. One of those decisions we've been talking through is some renovations for the South Wing. We replaced the roof and the ceiling back in the fall, and we would like to update some of that because as the ceiling came down, a lot of other stuff came down with it. And the floors are really kind of gross right now. If you ever saw what was in the ceiling and came on the floor, you would not want to be on the floor. in the South Wing. But we have some stuff we've been talking about. We've got a committee we set up months ago. They've been working very, very hard, and we've had some money given specifically to renovate the kitchen. We've got that all worked out. We're ready to move on it, but we need some more people to be involved in this process to help understand it, because it's expensive. It's a lot of money. And it's a lot of hard work, but I believe it's good for us to take care of this property and to improve this property and to make it be in the best condition possible for people, new people who come, but also just as we steward it for the Lord's work. And then finally, financial stability for this church. I talked to Paul, and we've got old business meeting minutes from years and decades ago, and I've looked through a lot of these, and this church kind of does this. A lot of churches do this, but this one in particular does this, up and down, up and down. And usually it involves how many people are on staff. And right now we've got 4 people on staff. We've got Daniel and myself. Dina works 3 days a week, and we have a lady that comes and cleans the church. And so right now we've been on one of these. I don't believe there's any reason that we should be doing this, to be honest with you. 2 weeks ago, we had one of our biggest Sundays in giving-wise in a long time. And that amount of giving from that one Sunday, if that was every Sunday, we would be happy-go-lucky, all right? We'd be good to go, but we don't do that. So we're getting on that downward slope, and things are, you know, we've got money in the bank, we've got a building fund, we've got a Family Life Center fund that, you know, if we've got emergency money, if we had to do something with, we can do something with. But I want us to be in a place financially as a church where Daniel and I don't have to look at the bank balance to figure out if we can do an outreach. All right, or if something breaks, can we afford to fix it? And I believe that God has resourced this church in such a way that we don't have to be in that spot. And so as we as a church pray over these things, mission trips are expensive. New Sunday morning stuff for kids can be expensive. All these things cost money. Ministry, church costs money. And God has brought us all here as the church to support the ministry of this church. So let's take a minute, pray for these things. They're all up there. I know it's kind of small to fit them all in. There's a lot of them up there. But I believe in 2.5 years, if we're faithful to do the work that God has given us and we place our trust in Him to do the work on our behalf so that we're not wasting our time. Oh, I didn't mention one on there. 2 morning worship services. Sorry about that. I skipped over that one. Sorry, Daniel. You can be playing. It actually kind of sounded kind of nice. I've talked to a few different guys. I have a vision that I'd love to see happen at some time in the near future of offering a Sunday morning, early Sunday morning service for those, particularly for our farmers, because you'll notice a lot of times our farmers, we have a few that are very faithful to be here, rain or shine, but sometimes it's really hard for them to be here on a Sunday morning when they know they've got stuff to do out on the farm. And I want to provide an opportunity for them to be able to come to church and to worship and still be able to go and get some work done. A lot of times people just say, well, our farmers are just gone during the summer. And I'm not okay with them just being gone during the summer. They're a vital part of our church, and I want to provide the opportunity. But also, I know there are some of you who probably wouldn't mind getting here at 8 o'clock and going to Sunday school and being done with your Sunday morning at 10:30. And then you're go free for the day. You can beat the Methodist to the restaurant or whatever it is you strive for on Sunday mornings, but you have the rest of your day free. I'd love to, you know, some of you might want to do that and come to that service. But also, as more statistical thing of this, 80% full of a venue is full. Okay? And most Sundays, not today, but most Sundays, we have 115 to 120 people here on a Sunday morning. And statistically, that's full. If we can provide a different service, another opportunity for people to come, then we have more empty seats for people to come in, invite people to come and feel comfortable here on a Sunday morning. So that's part of my prayer for the next 2.5 years, that we're a church that has multiple opportunities on Sunday morning to worship, that has mission trips around the country and around the world, and is making changes here on the campus and in our community. And obviously that happens. Let's take a minute and pray for these things for our church as well. Father, I just trust you with, God, what you have planned for us as a church. Lord, I've been praying big things for us. I believe you're leading us to them. But God, it's going to take a lot of effort on our part, a lot of willingness to give of ourselves, of our time, of our resources. Father, I pray that you will, God, bless that, expand that. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we decide how to plan our budget and the things that we spend money on. God, show us the places to restrain or to cut back. And Father, I pray that you will just work, Lord, with what you've blessed us with. Father, I ask you to, God, just to move mightily with what it is, Lord, that you want us to do, Father, when it comes to mission work, when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to all the different things we're doing, Father. We ask for your work and your will to be done. Continue to guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want us to, very quickly, this last part is for them. This is for those who aren't here yet. There are people in our community who are not yet part of a church, and I believe that God will lead some of them here. And three things we want to pray for them. First of all is softened hearts to be ready to hear the gospel. That the Holy Spirit will go ahead and work in their hearts to have them ready for when we go to them as a community, as a body, not just here on Sunday mornings, but you in your daily life as you go to people and talk to them about God, that they'll be ready to hear it. Boldness to respond to the gospel. It's scary sometimes to give over control of your life to somebody. All right, especially to God that we can't see face to face. It's scary to give up control. Let's pray for boldness for them to do that. And finally, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to move in their lives. That God will be working in their lives, already changing their hearts when we come to them, when we offer outdoor, when we offer block parties, when we offer events, our Awana, our youth, our Sunday mornings, whenever it is that we're doing stuff, that God will already be working and moving in their lives. Let's take a minute and pray for those who aren't here yet. I want to close with one final passage in prayer for you. Let's pray. Ask you to be at work in our community around us, God, to be moving in the lives of those who aren't here yet. Lord, as I pray that you'll help our focus to shift to them, Lord, to be willing to do whatever we need to do, to be willing to sacrifice what we need to sacrifice, Father, for the sakes of the souls of those who don't know you yet. And God, I pray and I believe and I trust that there are people that you intend to bring into our congregation, that you intend to bring into the kingdom through us. And Lord, I pray that we'll be faithful to carry that out, God, to our part in that, Lord. But I ask you to guide us along your path in that. Father, to make your will happen, God. And as that happens, Lord, that we trust that you're already working, God. You're already stirring in people's hearts, Father, to respond to you. Lord, and I pray that you'll help us be faithful to do our part in that as well. Love in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, finally, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and I've prayed it for y'all before, but I wanted to read through it with you right now because I believe it is God's prayer for us as well. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." So Paul was praying for the church to be strengthened, to be given power through the Holy Spirit, through God's Spirit, so that, and this is why, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So Paul is praying for the people of Ephesus to be built up, to know God and experience God in a way they never have before. And if you read that, they may be able to comprehend, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. That is a four-dimensional love that God has for his people. It is on a plane and in a sphere that we can't even comprehend. We live in a world of three dimensions. We have we live in this we get the height and the length and the width, but this whole breadth thing or whatever it is, God loves us on a plane and a dimension that we can't even understand or comprehend. And Paul's prayer is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the people there would know that and be able to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, to be filled up with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So God has us power to do more than we could ask, more than we can even imagine, and that power works within us. It's in us. It's not just this thing that's out there and we get to observe God doing great things. God, the power of the Spirit lives in you. And God, or Paul is asking for that power to be working in them. Verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Because the responsibility for the success of his church relies on God, he also gets the glory. And if our desire is to see this church grow so that we can go in our community and talk about how many people we had here on Easter, how many people we have in Sunday school, or how many people came to the event, if that's our goal, we've missed it. If our goal, though, is the glory of God, that we understand that it's his power at work, that it's his job to make things successful, it's his job to grow and to change people, and we seek his glory, that's when he'll change us. That's when he'll make this church all that he wants it to be. And that's the only way that we survive another 130 years. And again, my goal's not numbers, but I believe with all my heart that in 130 years, we still have 120 people here on Sunday morning, that something's wrong. I believe that God will grow his church. I believe that people will come and surrender to the gospel of Christ, that we can grow and disciple them and send them out to win more. And that this place, this church, could have 300-400 people here on a Sunday morning. Not because of our work, but because of God's power working in us. If y'all would stand, we're going to sing our invitation song, and I know it's noon. I get that. I'm sorry. But not really. I want to give you the opportunity to respond. We're going to sing one more song. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond this morning, even if it's just in your heart. Maybe it's to come down here and pray or come talk to me. But pray for God this morning to use you, to grow you, to change you, to make you more like Christ, to make you more faithful to him, and however he would have you serve. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you challenge us and you motivate us and you use us. And Lord, I pray this morning that we'll be faithful to follow you and to trust you. In Christ's name.